So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
From Business Insider, Dave Leventhal. Dave, good morning.
Joe Beamer, good morning to you.
Thank you. Dave, let me ask you, obviously another busy week in Washington, D.C., but obviously the focus on the Supreme Court since 10:14 on Friday when that, when we were confirmed that the leak was accurate, what has been the reaction in Washington, D.C. these last 2 days?
The reaction has been massive and incessant, and it's not going to slow down, I would suspect, Joe, for many, many days and weeks to come, in part because it was immediate when Democrats in particular said just minutes after the decision came down that Roe is going to be on the ballot in November and that this decision will become, in essence, as politicized as you could ever imagine it, and it's going to be something that they are going to run on in a major way because in the opinion of many Democrats going all the way on up to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and President Joe Biden, they feel that there's going to be sufficient outrage all across the country to help Democrats in a political context. So at least in terms of the pure politics, the real politic of the matter, that's where things stand. But of course, all across the country, the reaction has ranged from absolutely outraged to complete elation. This has been an effort for decades on the anti-abortion pro-life side, and has been something that has been an effort that's been leading up to this very moment. So there are tens of millions of Americans who are just incredibly upset, and tens of millions of Americans who are about as happy with this decision as they possibly could be, which really underscores, Joe, the divide that we have in this country, not only over the issue of abortion, but on many things.
And as you said, Democrats have been very vocal the last 2 days. On the right, Susan Collins has been, Senator from Maine, has been very vocal about her disappointment in Brett Kavanaugh. What does that stem from?
Well, it stems from basically an assurance that she got before his hearing, his Supreme Court nomination hearing, that Roe was, and I paraphrase, settled law, not something that would come up or something that he would even see coming up were he to be on the Supreme Court, and that he would move to strike down. So she feels as if she has been duped. It's important to note that Susan Collins of Maine is a Republican, but she is a Republican who supports abortion rights. So as a result, she was looking for assurances that if she voted for him, if she voted for his nomination, which she ultimately did during a most controversial hearing when Brett Kavanaugh's past came up bleak a way as you could almost get, and she ended up supporting him in part because of the assurances that she had received on this particular issue.
Dave, you know, you're there, you hear all the whispers in Washington, and obviously publicly everyone, you know, is taking their sides left and right, but are there people on the right side of the aisle who secretly, maybe not publicly saying this, are concerned how this could play out in the midterm elections?
Oh, they're very concerned, and I've talked to several Republicans who work in politics about this very issue, and they definitely fear a backlash both at the ballot box, especially in areas where there might be, for example, a very contested congressional race, which could be a determining factor in whether Republicans or Democrats control the House or the Senate come next congressional term. And let's remember that the Democrats have the thinnest of majorities in the Senate and not much more of a majority in the House. So Republicans see this as just a massive opportunity to win either one or both sides of Congress and effectively deny Joe Biden any ability to move his agenda forward for the final 2 years of his first term. So, yes, they're concerned that there is going to be a political price to be paid. And I would add to Joe that they're also concerned about unintended consequences, too. So we're hearing a lot, obviously, about the after effects of the Dobbs decision, which struck down Roe. But people are also concerned, Republicans and Democrats, that there could be a kind of a slippery slope effect or a spillover effect that are going to potentially affect other types of rights that currently exist at a national level right now, that extending to contraception, same-sex marriage, even interracial marriage. And, you know, we forget that it was only 20 years ago that the Lawrence v. Texas decision came down, not a household name necessarily, but that was the Supreme Court decision that basically canceled all sodomy laws at the state level in the country. And so, you know, basically it was illegal about two decades ago to perform homosexual acts in certain states. So, you know, we're dealing with a whole variety of different issues, Joe, that are now coming into play, at least theoretically, as a result of this decision coming down. And Republicans are concerned that, hey, you know, there might be a bigger backlash politically and otherwise for them as a result of this decision. But there are a lot of Republicans who are also incredibly happy right now that this has happened, and that they also see this as a galvanizing force for Republicans to say, look, all the efforts that we've been putting forward, all the things that we've been doing for the past many months and years and even decades, they're coming to fruition right now. So let's step on the gas.
To that point, according to Business Insider, only 25% of Americans have confidence in the Supreme Court. Dave, that number, 25%, would lead me to believe that there are Republicans in that number, too, that don't have confidence in the Supreme Court.
Yeah, well, you know, that's numbers that are right down there with Congress, and Joe Biden's approval rating is not too much higher. So this speaks to almost a larger symptom of a plague of a lack of confidence in government overall, both by Democrats and Republicans. So another poll that we wrote about came from earlier this year, which is almost as striking, if not even more striking, which is the utter lack of knowledge that Americans have about the Supreme Court. This particular poll, which was sponsored by C-SPAN, which is about as nonpartisan as you're going to find out there, basically indicated that fewer than 1 in 10 Americans could name several of the Supreme Court justices, including Samuel Alito, who wrote the Dobbs decision that struck down Roe. So not only is there a lack of confidence, but there's also a lack of understanding and knowledge about the court itself, which is pretty striking, especially given that the court has the ability and has now exercised the ability and in such a profound way to determine what people in the United States of America can and cannot do.
Dave, we just talked about this with Congressman Higgins, talking about the gun legislation that was signed by President Biden yesterday. Congressman Higgins said, you know, it's a start, but it's far from where we need to be. But he also voiced, you know, that it does give him hope that there could be more bipartisan work in the future. Is that echoing Democrats and Republicans in Washington this weekend?
No, not on the. I laugh a little bit because I've talked to several Democrats and Republicans about this very point, and put the question to them this past week. Hey, you know, does the gun legislation indicate something bigger? Does it indicate some sort of a melting of the icy freeze that Democrats and Republicans have increasingly had over the past several years, particularly in the years after Donald Trump became president? And both sides effectively, and hey, you know, this is a unscientific poll here, but nevertheless, both sides had very little confidence that this spoke to some sort of a larger warming of relations among Democrats and Republicans. A very, very, you know, difficult confluence of factors came to conspire, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but conspire to effectively give Republicans and Democrats an opportunity to work together on this particular piece of gun legislation. Democrats, they needed to do something. There was such a clamor for action to be taken. They are in the majority. They have the White House. So for them to not do something, that would have been politically untenable. And Republicans, too, are under great pressure, too, because you know, more and more, even Republicans have said, look, we have to do something to protect the smallest and the most vulnerable Americans in this country. And we can't live in a society where we're not doing anything at all in response to something as horrific and terrible as 20 people being killed in an elementary school or 10 people being killed in a supermarket in Buffalo, New York. So Republicans were increasingly under pressure to act at least in some fashion, even if it meant going against Second Amendment orthodoxy on this issue, which many Republicans still continue to hew to. But John Cornyn, the senator from Texas, among others, including up to Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority leader, basically said, yes, we are willing to do something in order, in their opinion, to make common sense changes to try to keep guns out of the hands of people who absolutely should not have a gun, in the estimation of almost any American, regardless of your political persuasions.
Dave, also in Washington this week, Roger Goodell giving a speech to Congress. What got the commissioner of the NFL in front of Congress via Zoom meeting?
He sure did. And what got him there was activity that was taking place in the Washington, D.C. area, but not in a political sense, at least as we would normally talk about it, Joe, and that has everything to do with the Washington Commanders, the football team of Washington, D.C., and its owner, Dan Snyder, who has become a real pariah in sports, one of the most reviled owners, not only in the NFL, but in sports, and a massive sexual scandal that has been rocking that particular franchise. And club, in essence, Dan Snyder is being accused of perpetrating a climate of fear and reprisal, and in essence, tampering with an investigation into activities that are taking place. Dan Snyder himself would not proverbially play ball with Congress. He may yet be subpoenaed and forced to testify at the peril of being held in contempt of Congress. That has yet to happen, but Roger Goodell volunteered to come and testify before this House committee, and as a result, he faced some very, very difficult questions about what's going to be done, and even questions on up to, hey, Roger, are you going to remove Dan Snyder as the owner of the Washington Commanders? His response, Joe, was, I don't have the ability to do so. Again, I paraphrase, but the owners of the NFL, if you get 24 out of the 32 club owners voting to kick Dan Snyder out of the ownership of his own team, then he basically could kind of be fired from being the owner of that team or forced to give it up. That, again, too, has not happened yet, but the fact that this is all being debated before Congress itself at a time when we're having lots of other things going on in Congress, including the January 6th hearings that continue to take place, it was also to a very striking moment here in Washington, D.C., and a week filled with about a half a dozen striking moments that were just is on any given other news week would be the thing totally in the top of the headlines. But, man, it has been a news week, to say the least.
Before we get to that, I meant to ask one more question when talking about the Supreme Court. You know, there's been the calls from those in Congress, some in Senate, to, quote, pack the court, expand the Supreme Court. The White House, even after Friday's decision, has still been pretty against that, and that stands today, correct?
It does, and Joe Biden threw cold water on it in a major way and said that he doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to go that route. And Joe, this is interesting because you can talk about that in isolation and get philosophical about whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. It would have massive consequences that could both help and hurt Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives, depending on the makeup of the court, something that could help Democrats potentially in the short term, but hurt them drastically in the long term. But, you know, that's a discussion for another day. What I think is probably the most urgent and striking, at least within the Democratic Party, intramurally, is this division that there is between sort of the younger, very, very far left types of politicians in the Democratic Party, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez being chief among them, and being outraged that at least the mainstream Democrats, if you want to call them that, the old guard may be more accurate, that they wouldn't consider this and that they wouldn't be taking as aggressive and dramatic action as they could to try to undo the Supreme Court's decision. So expect that to be a real storyline going forward, Joe, about Democrats, again, intramurally, internally, between now and November, because there are definitely some tensions and some divisions that are taking place within the party, and those tensions are very much with the AOCs of the world and the squads of the world versus sort of the Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyers of the Democratic Party, who have, in many cases, been there not months or years, but decades and all the way on up to 50 years for Joe Biden in public service.
Dave, you mentioned the January 6th hearings. They continue. I believe we've had five public hearings now this month or in the last 2 weeks. I asked this question of Congressman Higgins, and I wonder if you've heard this question asked of anyone in Washington or if anyone's addressed this. You know, you look at the committee, obviously put together by people that, for the most part, did not agree and were vocal against the previous president. Nancy Pelosi shot down the idea of having someone like Jim Jordan on it. Has anyone been asked? I asked this question to Congressman Higgins. Has anyone asked if maybe that wasn't the right idea because you do have these committee hearings going on that a lot of people on the right side of the aisle, again, most people on the right, think what happened on January 6th, thinks the people that were there should all be charged and prosecuted. But have people asked the question if maybe there should have been more Republicans on this committee to then get the attention of more of America?
Yes, and I've asked that question myself on multiple occasions to multiple Democrats, and the answer almost in unanimity is, look, the Republicans, and I'm conveying what Democrats have told me, they say that, look, Republicans had their opportunity. They had their opportunity very early on when the goal initially from Democrats was to have a truly bipartisan commission, not a select committee. It would be a commission of the sort that we had after Watergate, the commission of the sort that we had after the BP oil spill about a decade ago, and the one that most people would remember was the commission, bipartisan commission, that was convened after these terrorist attacks on 9/11 and produced a very dramatic report after that. And Republicans didn't want to do that this time. They didn't want to have that kind of a bipartisan commission and those negotiations to go that route, which would have quite possibly had a Jim Jordan or other Republicans who have a very, very different perspective on the attacks of January 6th, who would have been on that bipartisan commission. That fell apart, but Democrats weren't willing to simply fold their hand and quit the game. They decided to go a route that was, by its nature, going to be more partisan, and that manifested itself in the select committee that we have right now that is absolutely dominated by Democrats, by design was going to be dominated by Democrats, just given the fact that Democrats hold power in the House. There are two Republicans on this committee, but they are two Republicans who have come into the committee with a very distinct perspective, which flies in the face of what many Republicans feel about the attacks of January 6th or about Donald Trump himself. So that's really kind of the short to medium term history of what had gone on here. And I do get the sense from a few Republicans who I've talked to recently that there is a little bit of buyer's remorse, may not be the best term, but almost as if they wish they could, to mix metaphors, gotten a mulligan where they would have had an opportunity to play a bigger role. Because in essence, the Democrats are able to really just drive the conversation in full here, with Republicans having to kind of shout from the peanut gallery as opposed to being in prime time and in these hearings and in the mix and contradicting in real time what's being said. They don't have that opportunity as a result of the way that this committee has been taking place, is taking place and has been constituted.
Now, we've had one primetime hearing, the other four in the afternoon. Will there be another one in primetime coming up?
I would expect so, and that's not definite because the schedule has not been released and the committee has not said definitively, but what we do know is that they're going to take a break for a couple of weeks here. The 4th of July holiday is going to come and go, and then the rest of the hearings that are slated to take place are likely going to do so in the course of a couple of weeks during July. So back in early to mid-July is when these are going to ramp up again, and yes, it would seem likely that they're not all going to take place as matinee hearings, but some of them are definitely going to be at least one, a primetime hearing.
And Dave, here in New York, we're ramping up for a strange primary season. Primary day part one this Tuesday, and then and that's for state offices. And then you got to get yourself back to the polls on August 23rd for the congressional primaries. This is kind of different than how it usually is, right?
It is. Not as bad as, say, a state like Alaska, where I think they're going to go to the polls on four different occasions from last month through Election Day because of special elections that they have going on. But this is... you know, New York has had an incredibly turbulent year, and of course, everything that has happened with the congressional maps and then the in the court fights and the legal battles that have taken place have caused this to be a good bit different than what any New Yorker or certainly any Buffalonian would typically expect with a with an election such as this. But people need to go and vote if they want to have a voice in this. So you might have to gear up to get out and fill out your ballot a couple more times than you typically would, or get to the polls a couple more times than you typically would. But nevertheless, everything is still going to be on the ballot, just a little bit in a more diffuse form, if you will, than it may typically be.
And I would assume, you know, no offense to the gubernatorial primary, but I think we know how that's going to go in New York. I would assume the eyes of Washington are a little more interested in that August primary, where the new congressional seats pick their party representatives than the one on this Tuesday.
Well, certainly, and that factors directly back into Democrats' hope of fleeting hope, perhaps, of retaining the U.S. House. They were hoping that New York was going to give them a little bit of a cushion with some seats, congressional seats, that were going to be a bit safer than they probably are going to be right now. So Democrats may ultimately, depending on how things come to pass, lose seats in New York State, statewide, relative to where things are right now. And that could have major ramifications, potentially, especially if the math is as close as it potentially could be, in whether Nancy Pelosi's party, as it is right now, continues to control the U.S. House, or whether we're looking at House Speaker Kevin McCarthy or somebody else going forward for at least the next 2 years, come 2023.
Deputy Editor Dave Leventhal. Dave, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a great 4th of July, and we'll talk soon.
You as well, Joe. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to Plansmore, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.